Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, maybe ghosts don't haunt places, maybe they haunt people.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Oh yeah, thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you have a real ghost story and you could share it with us, we'd really appreciate that. So call it in if you want to leave us a voicemail. It's 855-853-4802. Or just write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to be a premium subscriber with the advance episodes and access to thousands more in the archive, all without commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, Kathy Gordon. Mm. I had something happen last night, not paranormal, but it felt paranormal.
Okay.
So I was printing some stuff out on my piece of shit printer. A lot of people can relate to that because a lot of us have piece of shit printers.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it is a new one.
Is this your second?
Yes. The first one I got, I loved, and then I effed it up. Okay. That was my bad. So I just bought the exact same printer again, and I don't love the second one. It's just...
Oh, man.
I know. But anyway, so I'm sitting here printing some stuff, and it was just coincidental. At the same time, I turn on the printer, and it just gets going. I hear this beep. And I was like, what the hell was that? And then a little bit later, beep. And it took me an hour to figure it out that it was, you know, I am a bad homeowner because I forget that I have a smoke detector.
Sure.
5 years I've lived in this house, it has never made a sound. And I just have totally forgotten it's even there. So apparently the battery needed to be replaced.
Aren't you supposed to do that like every Valentine's Day or something? There's like a day everybody says, you know, do it on
exactly.
Valentine's Day. Because then you always...
5 years. I have not replaced the battery.
Well, and thank God you didn't have a fire.
I know. Well, fingers crossed, because I still haven't had time to go buy the battery yet. But so then I'm like sitting here, and I've turned the power off on the printer. I've turned everything off in the house. Beep. And I'm like, what the F is it? So then I finally realize it's the smoke detector, right? So I get up there and I take the smoke detector down. I take the battery out. I set the battery next to the smoke detector. And then I remembered more than one ghost story we've had on this show before that they took the batteries out of something and it still kept beeping.
And it's still doing it.
And I was like, what if it keeps beeping? What if this isn't going to stop it? What if I wake up in the middle of the night knowing the battery's out of it and it's going to... Honest to God, I woke up in the middle of the night. Is it beeping?
Is it beeping?
I know. It was like, it's a stupid show. Like, I'm freaking myself out over things that shouldn't even freak me out. It's normal. Batteries beep in the smoke detector.
But on the other hand, you know, it's normal to all of a sudden worry in the middle of the night.
I know, about like, what if that was paranormal?
What if, yeah.
But I have just, you know, the toys. And there was a smoke detector story once where they took the batteries out and it kept on beeping.
We have a lot of toys that do it.
Yeah. And so I just laid in bed thinking about that last night. So not paranormal, but it did feel paranormal for a while because I could not, because it only seemed to beep like every 30 seconds. So I couldn't track it down. Like, where is this sound coming from?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It doesn't randomly. There's not like a every 10 seconds.
Yeah, you want, if it's every 10 seconds, I could track it down pretty quick.
Right. But it doesn't.
But instead, I'm shutting everything down in my house and it's still beeping. And then I'm like, now it's 10 o'clock at night. Am I going to have to go to bed with this freaking beeping all night? And then I'm like, wait a minute, I have a smoke detector.
I can't believe it took you that long.
5 years. I can't believe that it hasn't beeped in 5 years.
Well, that's some good
batteries. That's a damn good battery. I want that exact same one.
Yeah. Well, you can't always get as good as this first one. And the printers are a great example of that.
Jesus,
you know?
A piece of shit. It's like, it is the worst printer. To the point, I never write reviews on Amazon. I wrote a review. I'm like, buy it if you want a power cord that doesn't stay in. You won't be printing along and the power cord just randomly comes out. And so I have to find something to kind of prop the power cord up, and it's just a mess.
Hey, back to our conversation in just a second. First, I want to tell you about my recent experience with Warby Parker. I love these guys, and I love my new glasses. I really, truly do. It's the first pair that I've had in a long time that I've really, really been happy with. Warby Parker uses nothing but premium materials in each frame. The designers at Warby Parker, they do everything in-house. The collection includes silhouettes, colors, and fits that are made to suit every face. So many easy ways of trying them, too. You can have them sent to you, and you can do a home try-on. You can do a virtual try-on on the website, or even in stores, the old school way, if you like going out and interacting with people. They have over 270 retail locations across the U.S. and Canada where you can get styled by one of their friendly expert advisors. But I'm telling you, I absolutely love the virtual way of doing it, but it's different for everybody. They have everything you need for happier eyes, eyeglasses, sunglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams. They do it all. And their prices, yes. Get this, glasses start at just $95 and include prescription lenses with anti-reflective, scratch-resistant coatings. Many Warby Parker locations offer comprehensive eye exams starting at only $85 as well. Add a pair, save 15% when you purchase two or more prescription pairs of glasses or sunglasses. It's available both at home and in stores. And you get free shipping and free 30-day returns. It's wonderful. It's one of those things where I'm not a big fan of going out and actually doing it in person. So the online route of it was amazing. But like I said, they're everywhere too, and they make it so darn easy, especially with many of those locations having their own in-house eye doctors where you can get your prescription created for you, get your exam done. That, again, there's just like no excuse anymore. It's there for you. You can get it done. You can get it done very affordably and get probably the best pair of glasses you're ever going to have. Warby Parker has over 270 locations to help you find your next pair of glasses. You can also head over to warbyparker.com/ghost right now to try on any pair virtually. That's warbyparker.com/ghost. warbyparker.com/ghost.
Anyway, so let's talk about this ghost story.
Let's do it.
My dad tried coaxing him, even tossed one of his favorite toys onto the steps, and that's when Buster yelped like someone had stepped on his tail, and he ran down the hall whimpering. My dad stood there for a minute looking into the basement, and he told us later it felt like someone was down there watching him. The story took a turn when our cousin Ethan moved in for a bit. He just graduated college and was trying to find work, so my parents offered him the guest room, which was in the basement. The first night, oh dear, I heard you say. The first night, everything was fine. The second night, not so much. We were eating breakfast when Ethan came flying up the stairs, pale as a ghost. This was a guy who once went camping in bear country with nothing but a knife and a granola bar. Nothing rattled him. But that morning, he looked like he'd seen death itself. He said he'd woken up facing the wall and felt something breathing on his neck. And when he rolled over, there was a girl with red curls and a blue nightgown on, hovering an inch from his face. Her expression was totally blank, like she didn't even know what she was looking at. He blinked and then she was gone, and after that he slept on the couch. The weird part was we hadn't told him about Mason's imaginary friend, but the description, the red curls, blue nightgown, blank stare, it matched. Another time, my dad was home alone with Mason and I was at a friend's house. Mom was running errands and he told us later that while he was sweeping the kitchen, he heard a little voice whisper, "Sweep, sweep, sweep," right next to his ear. He thought it was Mason messing with him, but when he checked the living room, Mason was fast asleep on the couch. He tried to brush it off, but he didn't pick up the broom again that day. The final straw was when my mom hosted a get-together with some of her friends. No kids were home. Mason and I were staying the night at our grandparents'. And at one point, her friend Leah went downstairs to grab some wine from the basement fridge. You can insert an oh dear there again.
Exactly.
Oh dear. She came back up pale and quiet. My mom asked her if everything was okay. And Leah just said, "There's a girl down there in a nightgown." She ran off before I could say anything. Again, she hadn't heard a single word about Emily. We lived in that house for another year. Mason slowly stopped talking about her. Nothing else major happened. Just the occasional sound of footsteps upstairs when no one was up there. A door creaking open on its own. That kind of thing. We've never heard or seen Emily since. But Mason, he's 20 now and still remembers her. Thank you for the podcast. I appreciate you guys. I'm not quite sure who sent that in. That's an interesting story.
Oh my gosh.
It's creepy, ain't it?
Well, it really is. And I think the interesting part is so Mason said she was 35, which was odd. But she comes off younger than that to people that are a little older, right?
Yeah. Very much. You know?
I don't know if they're seeing variations of this girl, woman in her life. Maybe Mason was just really young and just perceived, you know.
Or maybe Mason just heard somebody say the age 35 and he repeated that.
Exactly. So I don't know that that's necessarily anything to, you know, latch on to. I think Mason was, what, 3?
Yeah, he was really something. Little.
So to him, you know, 13 might have looked 35, you know. He wouldn't have known the difference. But it seemed like, for the large part, people were calling her a girl as she was older.
Yeah, yeah.
But the two people that saw her were not people that lived there. I mean, other than Mason. It was the mother's friend, who quite bravely went to the basement, by the way, because you know it had to be spooky just walking down there. And then the cousin, Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting that Emily would somehow appear to them, but not mom or dad or the person who wrote this story, brother or sister. It's odd, though I think they were all creeped out and felt something odd. It's interesting they didn't see it, but the people who didn't really live there did.
Mm-hmm.
Except Mason.
Yeah. But, you know, once again, like we talk about, you know, maybe mom and dad are busy. But dad had the experience with Buster.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I also get that feeling of you might not see it, but you know it's there. Mm-hmm. There's something there. And maybe Emily just didn't like showing herself to the family.
Right. I just wonder, there seems to maybe have been a reason to not do that.
Yeah.
You know? And to other people, they could see her. It's just interesting. I wondered how the mother handled that with the friend who'd gone downstairs.
Yeah, do you think
said,
the friend ever
you have
said,
a girl in your basement?
In a blue nightgown?
In a blue nightgown?
And how many times did that friend come over for wine afterwards? And did she ever go to the basement to get the bottle?
I got the feeling she never came over again.
I was going to say, I got the feeling the friend was like, we are not going to the Joneses' house.
We're having the party at my house.
My house is safe. The wine cooler is upstairs.
We have no little girls running around in a blue nightgown at our house. And, you know, you would like to say, well, she's going to get another bottle of wine. Maybe she just had too much wine. But the fact that she, you know, nailed it as far as describing the ghost suggests it wasn't just.
And how did mom handle that? I would like to hear the rest of that conversation.
I know. That's what I wondered, too, was like, what did mom say to her then?
Yeah.
We just have. I don't know. Ethan mentioned it too the other day.
Peggy, I went to get the wine and I saw a little girl in a blue nightgown. And Peggy's like, oh, that.
Yeah.
Eye roll.
Oh, God. I lose more
dear.
Friends that way.
Just ignore her. You know, it's like.
My nephew, Ethan, noticed that too.
Because I just.
And just act like it was like, you know, just an everyday occurrence. Yes.
She's feral. She just pops in her house every now and again. But I remember when we were kids and I was at Brenda's house next door and we'd been out of town and Brenda was like, you know, when you were gone, because I was in the bedroom that faced her family, her house, that mm-hmm. bed you and I were probably sharing, or me and Cindy at the time. And so my bed was on the wall next to a window that faced her house. And so she said when we were gone, she saw somebody turn the light on in the bedroom and sit down on my bed. And I remember my response to it was like, oh, I hate living in a haunted house. It wasn't like, oh my God, creepy. It was more.
Well, I found it embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if mom was a little like, oh, that.
You know, it's a little embarrassing to have to fess up to something like that, you know.
But Brenda was really cool about it, you know, because she knew what was going on.
Yeah.
She never judged me for it. But I just remember that. Oh, I don't want to be that girl. So maybe mom was kind of like that. It's like, oh, yeah, about that. Let me hear. Give me your glass. You need a refill.
Yeah. Have you been drinking wine again, Peggy? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
That's odd.
Really?
Why, gosh, Barb. Don't know where the girl in the blue nightgown came from. I don't know what that's all about.
I think you've had a little too much wine.
let me give you a little bit more.
Maybe you'll forget all about that girl.
We're going to get you blackout drunk. Oh, well, let's go to this story.
My name's Ryan. I called in a week ago. I don't even know if you guys listened to the story yet, but just in case you didn't, I had a crazy sleep paralysis experience, and in my opinion it was a little bit more than sleep paralysis. Basically I had a really scary voice wake me up and keep me still and whisper some really weird foreign languages to me. I sensed it to be like an elemental presence. It didn't seem human, or maybe it was just super ancient and that's why I didn't really comprehend like the human part. But I wanted to tell you guys about my story last night. I work nights and I don't work weekends. So for me to go back to a schedule of sleeping at nighttime, it's really tough to adjust to that. So I usually watch TV until about 2 or 3 in the morning until I fall asleep. And that's what I did last night. Was just sitting in my room watching The Office, and I watched my last episode. I was like, all right, it's time to go to bed. Slept for about 2 hours and I woke up to the sound of somebody opening my bedroom door and walking into my room. And I was completely awake and lucid at this point. I wasn't feeling groggy or anything. I was just completely awake. I looked up, there was nobody in my room, and my bedroom door wasn't open. So I thought maybe somebody else's door opened or somebody was using the bathroom in the middle of the night. So I rolled back over and tried to nod back off. And it was at that point when I felt basically what I can describe to a kick to my bed. I mean, my whole bed and mattress, like, definitely moved. And it even moved me a little bit. It was like somebody just walked up to the side of my bed and just kicked it full force. And then for about, like, 5 more minutes, it was a series of hard taps to it would start at, like, the headboard, and then it would be like somebody was grabbing my footboard and shaking that back and forth. And I don't know if somebody was trying to get my attention for a good thing or a bad thing, but I really didn't want to find out. I just, I heard other listeners in the past say when they have stuff going down, they like to envision a white light, and that's what I did. I just tried to put myself in the best mind frame. I didn't really want to look to see what it was. I kind of lied to myself a little bit, and I was like, oh, it's probably just my dog just smashing into my bed for whatever reason. But, yeah, my house is usually not too scary and not that paranormally active. I mean, I always have, like, the footsteps up the stairs and maybe feeling like somebody's home with me when I'm home alone. But it's never anything crazy like that. And at dinner tonight, I was telling my sister and my parents about it, and they're really open to this. I come from, my parents are really religious. My mom's also very spiritual, and I think of myself as an empath and a spiritual dude. And my sister was like, oh, that's really weird. Last night I woke up and I couldn't sleep, so I took a shower, and when I flipped my hair down in front of the mirror to start combing it, I felt somebody grab my hips. She thought it was her husband, and she said when she turned around, there was nobody there. And that was the same night that this happened to me, so I think somebody was trying to get her and I's attention. Could have been something pleasant, could have been something not so pleasant. I didn't want to find out, neither did she. I've had loads of experiences from almost anywhere I go, especially because I live in a haunted area in Massachusetts. It's referred to as the Bridgewater Triangle. I'm no stranger to an experience, and that definitely felt like one, along with what she had. But all right, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do.
You know, I did an episode on the Grave Talks about the Bridgewater Triangle.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really interesting area that is pretty geographically a pretty good sized area, and all kinds of different strange happenings occur, from cryptids to disappearances, and kind of like that energy, the Bermuda Triangle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's also hauntings and unexplained mysteries. So yeah, it is a thing. Mm. I talked to a guy who wrote a book on it.
That's fascinating. Yeah. Yeah, and so Ryan lives in the middle of it.
Of the Bridgewater Triangle. You know, he did say something at one point, because at the beginning, about thinking it was sleep paralysis.
Well, I think that was the first phone call. He said he'd called in earlier with a sleep paralysis
story.
But
one thing he said, which I do believe in, like, because sometimes when, like he said, surrounding himself with a white light, I think does really help you if you, that is another tool you can use, because we've had things.
If you
like,
can get there.
Yeah, if you can, you know, visualize that, or the trying to move a finger, or trying to get a word
out. I've done the white light thing before, and but it helped.
I do think that's a good tool to keep in your arsenal if sleep paralysis is a problem for you, because it is a problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think about the rest of it, though?
I felt like, because he initially heard someone open the door and come in the room.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a very distinct sound. That's not just, you know, that's one of those things that you hear and then you turn around to say something to someone because you think they'll be standing there and they're not. And then this business with, felt like somebody kicked his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started,
which also
tapping,
extremely
shaking.
Distinct feeling.
So the question was, and then he said that the sister also had something happen where she felt like someone had grabbed her or touched her or something. And he said, you know, something's trying to get our attention possibly. And I liked that idea for this. You know, in his case, it was really shaking, rattling, you know, obviously like someone would shake you to get your attention, right?
And it was extreme shaking. It wasn't just like something bumped into the bed.
It does feel like maybe something is trying to, I don't want to say warn them, but it does feel like maybe something's up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just need to be aware a little bit of their surroundings for the next, you know, short period or something. It does feel like maybe they're trying to be, I hate to use the word warned because it sounds like something bad would happen, because maybe it could be something good, but something trying to definitely get their attention. And like I said, I'm not necessarily sure for a bad reason.
But it's not done. It's done in a rather threatening way, because his sister felt somebody grab her, like at her hips. That's a really private.
True.
People don't grab you in that area unless you're kind of intimate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, not just bumping into your bed, but, you know,
but
like
really
the headboard shaking and
shaking
shit.
And stuff. Yeah. It does feel
but
like
I don't know.
It,
once
it?
He said he lives in the Bridgewater Triangle, I'm like, maybe that's all we need to know.
And maybe it's just energies that just, you know, sporadically go from here to there in this location.
Yeah.
you know, so maybe it was their house that night, but something, you know,
true,
in a block down the next night or something.
I don't know, but I find it very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, ooh, if you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with us, please, please do that. Call it in at 855-853-4802 and leave us a voicemail. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com if you want to do that. You could be a premium subscriber, no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archives. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts, or you can also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.